Dr. Jonathan Smith, a first-year resident at Mass General Hospital, is reporting a case to the attending in charge of teaching him, Dr. Brenda Jenkins.
Ah, Jonathan, hello. What case did you wish to discuss with me?
Hello, Dr. Jenkins. I wanted to check with you about a 28-year-old patient I just examined, Melanie Jones. She was transferred from an outside hospital with a chief complaint of fever of unknown origin for the past 3 months. Her fever has been as high as 39 and has had no noticeable pattern.
All right. Is there any noticeable history?
Yes, quite. The patient has a history of bronchial asthma and chronic bronchitis that has not responded to multiple courses of antimicrobial treatment, including amoxicillin, clavulanic acid, kefotaxim, and levofloxacin. She has a 5-year history of asthma managed with inhaled bronchodilators and an occasional need for aminophylline. She also has a history of allergic rhinitis that precedes her history of asthma. She does not smoke or take other medications, has not traveled, and does not have pets.
Are there any other symptoms associated with her fever?
She has severe upper back pain that limits movement and is associated with numbness of the sole of her right foot. The pain develops 2 weeks after the fever and affects her daily life. She has noted difficulty holding heavy objects with both her right and left hands and difficulty with other upper extremity tasks, like combing her hair. She also has a productive cough with yellowish sputum that is not related to posture and has no diurnal variation. She also reports significant weight loss. Although she is unable to quantify how much weight she has lost, she noticed that her clothes no longer fit her.
Have you tried to estimate how much weight she might have lost?
Yes. Miss Jones weighs 85 kilos, and according to what she reports about her change in clothes size, I would estimate nearly a 20-kilo weight loss over the past 5 to 6 months.
Well, that's certainly significant. And what did your examination reveal?
Throughout the examination, Miss Jones was very uncomfortable and restless. Besides the high fever, she had a pulse of 110, blood pressure of 110 over 70, and a respiratory rate of 25. Examination of the chest revealed crepitations and wheezes throughout both lung fields, but I found normal heart sounds without evidence of cardiac murmur or friction rub. Examination of the back revealed severe tenderness of the midline cervical spine, which broadens to involve both shoulders down the spine to the second lumbar vertebra. I noted proximal weakness of both upper limbs, but the sensory examination of the upper extremities was normal. Lower extremity sensory motor examination was normal and symmetric. There was no cervical, axillary, or inguinal lymph node enlargement. Abdominal examination revealed no tenderness, rigidity, ascites, organomegaly, or masses. I didn't find any extremity edema, and I felt intact dorsalis pedis, posterior tibialis, and radial pulses.
And what did you want to check with me?
Well, I thought it would be appropriate to run a CBC, check her ESR, liver enzymes, creatinine, BUN, and to get an X-ray of her lungs. But I wanted to make sure I was doing the right thing.
Those are certainly indicated, but you should also run a urinalysis and a CT scan given her pain and expectorations. We need to get a good look at what is happening in her chest.
Okay, I'll order that and come back to you with the results. Thank you, Dr. Jenkins.
Later that day, Jonathan Smith returns with the results of the tests.
So Ms. Jones's hemoglobin is at 12.9. She has a platelet count of 350,000 and a white blood cell count of 25,000 with 12% eosinophils. Her ESR is elevated at 65 in the first hour. Liver enzyme findings are unremarkable with an AST of 35, ALT of 25, and a serum bilirubin of 0.7. Creatinine is normal at 0.5 with a BUN of 35. The rheumatoid factor finding is positive. The urinalysis shows no evidence of infection or proteinuria.
What of her lungs?
The plain chest radiograph revealed multiple scattered infiltrates in both lungs, and the high-resolution CT scan showed interstitial lung fibrosis.
What are your hypotheses for a diagnosis?
It could be an eosinophilic disorder. The pulmonary infiltrates can indicate Loeffler syndrome, and the peripheral infiltrates can suggest chronic eosinophilic pneumonia. Or it could be a vasculitic condition like Wegener granulomatosis or Good Pasture syndrome. But I'm thinking Churg-Strauss syndrome. Ms. Jones's history and physical examination seem consistent with CSS, including allergic rhinitis and asthma, myalgias, elevated ESR, eosinophilia, transient interstitial lung fibrosis, positive rheumatoid factor, and mononeuritis.
I would agree that her symptoms, history, and lab results are most suggestive of CSS. What would you say if C-ANCA and P-ANCA were negative?
I'm not sure. Would that exclude CSS?
No. Negative antibodies are found approximately 50% of CSS patients. But we do need to confirm the diagnosis. What can you tell me about CSS?
Well, it is a granulomatous small vessel vasculitis. The cause is unknown. The incidence of CSS is rather low, I think, but it affects men and women roughly equally.
That's right. The incidence is approximately 2.5 cases per 100,000 individuals. Do you know the 1990 American College of Rheumatology criteria for diagnosis of Churg-Strauss syndrome?
If I recall correctly, they include asthma, which I think almost always precedes the systemic manifestations. Eosinophilia greater than 10% in the peripheral blood. Evidence of a mononeuropathy in a vasculitic pattern, or polyneuropathy. Non-fixed pulmonary infiltrates. Presence of paranasal sinus abnormalities. And histological evidence of extravascular eosinophils.
That's correct. For classification purposes, a patient is said to have Churg-Strauss syndrome if at least four of these six criteria are positive. The presence of any four or more of the six criteria yields a sensitivity of 85% and a specificity of 99.7%. Now, what would be most worrying in patients with CSS?
Don't most deaths occur due to cardiac involvement?
Yes, exactly. So it is important to keep an eye on Miss Jones' heart. Cerebral hemorrhage or infarction is the second most common cause of death and is often associated with cerebral vasculitis or hypertension. Now, what treatment would you recommend for this patient?
I think we should hospitalize her. We first need to induce remission with prednisolone and cyclophosphamide, and then we will be able to reduce the prednisolone rapidly and replace the cyclophosphamide with azathioprine.
That sounds good to me. Let me know how it all progresses.
A week later, Jonathan Smith reports to Dr. Jones.
Hello, Jonathan. How is our CSS patient doing?
Well, as you know, Ms. Jones was hospitalized and treated with prednisolone, 45 milligrams, for remission induction, with a dramatic response. 2 days after the start of therapy, she was able to sleep normally and serve herself. Her back pain, respiratory symptoms, and numbness also disappeared. Ms. Jones's ESR returned to normal in a few days. For remission maintenance, we added azathioprine in a dose of 200 milligrams daily, commencing with the reduction of the prednisolone therapy.
That's very good news. Thank you, Jonathan, and good work.